Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. Darren Mitchell here, the host of the show, and welcome to Monday. Monday, the 31st of August, 2020. Who would have thought? It is now today in Australia. It is the last day of winter. And whilst it's still cold, where I am here in the Macedon Ranges, it was about 2 degrees this morning, but the sun's out. Not too much of a breeze, although the last few days have been really, really windy. It's starting to get nicer. The daylight is longer. And there's just a different feel in the air as we approach spring, which tomorrow is the first day of spring. So wherever you are in the world, I hope you had a fantastic weekend and look forward to a really productive week this week. Now, in today's episode, what I wanted to talk about, and this comes out of a number of conversations I've had over the last few weeks, particularly with clients that I'm working with one-on-one, and it's around leadership but effectiveness in terms of how we effectively spending our time. Now, today more than ever, with most people, certainly here in Victoria and certainly in Melbourne, being in stage four lockdown still and will be for another 2 weeks, people are not commuting and they're certainly not going to work. So everybody's working from home, which theoretically means we've got a lot more time on our hands to be more effective. But what's really interesting is that even though there's more time and we're not commuting to the office, a lot of people are not using that time as well as they possibly could be. And they're still trying to cram stuff in and not necessarily plan their day or plan their week, which is resulting in another challenge. And they're getting tired. They're getting fatigued. They're working longer hours, but they're not necessarily being more effective within the hours that they're actually working. And it's just causing some concerns, causing for a lot of people a lot of anxiety. And there's pressure that's being placed upon them to continue to do more in the time that they've got allocated. So the expectations that are being placed upon them continue to get high because the senior leaders know that they're working from home, they're not going to face-to-face meetings, they're not going out to do presentations. And so they need to be the senior leaders believe they need to be more and more available because they're working from home. Now, that may well be the case. There might well be that there's a higher level of availability, but when it comes to leading our team and also managing the time we've got allocated, we need to be really, really clear on how we segment our time and what we focus on as core priorities. And one of the key things with this is, you know, structuring some thinking around, well, what's the best outcomes for these meetings? What's the best outcome for the workshop that I'm running? What's the best outcome for the one-on-one conversation I'm going to have with my team members? Or even if there's ad hoc conversations, what's the key outcome I'm looking for? And unfortunately, too many leaders just go into meetings, whether it be meetings that they run or indeed meetings they just attend, not necessarily thinking enough about what is the key outcomes I'd like to achieve when it comes to this particular meeting, this particular conversation. And what then tends to happen is they get into a meeting and they realize that they haven't prepared as well as they could have, and the meeting just flows. And it flows and might flow. Sometimes it might be really good because you'll catch lightning in a bottle and it'll just flow beautifully and everything works. And you walk out of that meeting or you close off the Zoom call and you think, wow, that was a really, really good meeting. But then most of them, it'll be like, well, this is like pulling teeth. I'm not getting enough of output from my team. I'm not getting the engagement from my team. I'm not getting the conversation points from my team. And I'm not bringing the best of myself to this particular table. So the purpose of today is to share with you a really simple piece of thinking and a really simple model, if you like, to enable us to be a lot more effective when it comes to meetings, whether it be running meetings, attending meetings, and certainly one-on-one meetings. So before I talk about this, I just want to share some experiences from running sales teams and being in meetings where perhaps the people haven't prepared as well as they could have, or in some cases, I myself haven't prepared as well as I could have. Now, I remember running sales meetings, and we used to run a Monday morning sales meeting at 10 o'clock every Monday morning, and it almost became the Monday morning motivational sermon because we'd talk about the week ahead and how we needed to increase our, you know, penetration into our accounts. We need to increase our sales, trying to get the team up and about. And coming off a Monday where most people had a great weekend, and the last thing they wanted to be doing was sitting in a Monday morning sales meeting, having come off a weekend, it became really, really draining because not only did we not really have a specific agenda, Depending on how people felt and how they were feeling coming off the weekend, there was either a high level of energy in that particular meeting or there was a relatively low level of energy in that particular meeting. And one of the key lessons I learned was when you're not prepared for those meetings, what you get is exactly what you deserve. And more than once, I got the meetings that I deserved in that I wasn't prepared and I didn't get the great outcome. So if I look around the room and I had, say, 10 to 12 people in the room, and if I think about the investment that the company makes in that particular individual, multiplied by 10 or 12, there's a huge amount of cost that is sitting around the table that if you're not using that time really efficiently, it's wasted cost and you're not getting the best return out of that investment for that particular time. So it made it really clear to me that I had to get a lot better at planning meetings, but also making sure that I was really clear about what the purpose of the meeting was and what I was looking for in terms of the key outcomes. And even before that, I remember going out to a number of meetings with my sales execs, and they would bring me into a meeting and they wanted to, either introduce me to a key stakeholder within the business, or they felt that me being there as a sales leader, having the title, it might have added a little bit of extra credibility in the conversation they were trying to have. And that didn't always happen. In fact, most of the time it didn't, because most people don't really resonate with titles, and neither did I at the time. But what was really interesting going through that, and probably I reckon 80% of the time, the conversations that we had were not planned. So the purpose of the meeting wasn't absolutely crystal clear. And so we'd be going out to this meeting and we'd be in the car or in the taxi or in the Uber, and I'd be asking the question of the sales executive, so what's the purpose of the meeting? What are we looking to get out of it? And more often than not, the conversation that came back and the response I got was, oh, we just wanted to, I want to position you as the executive sponsor. I want to position you as the executive, whatever. And we're just going to continue to develop and further maintain the relationship. So there was all these responses that were quite airy-fairy and very generic, nothing really specific. And so I learned after doing this for a few years, I learned that, you know what, if I was to add value, not only add value to the account executive that I was going out to the meeting with, but also more importantly, add value to the customer, but also leave that customer with an impression of increase to the point where not only could I bring value to that particular individual, but I could also bring value to the team and help elevate, I guess, the reputation of the organization I was representing to a higher level, which therefore added to the level of credibility. And hopefully through that, put us in a much better position to either maintain good business or win incremental business or win brand new business. Then I had to get really granular on what the hell we were going out and talking about. What was the purpose of this meeting? And so I remember one day having this conversation with one of the executives, and I said, look, I'm not going out to this meeting unless you can give me a really clear indication of why we're going to this meeting and what are the three key things we're going to be talking about. And this was really surprising because the person had no idea what I was talking about. In fact, they looked at me as if I was an alien. But I sat down with them and I just learnt this methodology, which I'm about to share with you. And it was really, really profound, but so effective. Because what I come to realize, and now what I teach when I'm talking about team effectiveness, leadership effectiveness, becoming an exceptional sales leader, is we tend to use and make use of a law called the Parkinson's Law. Now, Parkinson's Law, if you remember back to when you're at school, and whether you're in year 9, year 10, even in university, if you were given a task or a project and you were given 3 or 4 weeks to do that project, when did most people complete that project? Now, if you're like most people, and certainly like me, it'd be done probably close to the submission date. So even though we had 4 weeks to get a project done, most of us would have done it towards the latter part of the time that it needed to be submitted. And so what we did is we thought we had a heap of time. So we expanded I guess, the focus of that particular project to fit in with the time that we had allocated. And the same thing happens with meetings. What we tend to do is if we don't have a clear articulated purpose for the meeting, and if we don't have some specific things we want to get in terms of outcomes, then what we'll do is we'll just continue to talk and we'll expand the content to fit the time that's been allocated. And it happens time and time and time again. I've been guilty of doing this in workshops. I've got, a whole day to do a workshop, and I might have half a day or 3/4 of a day worth of content. And what I'll do is I'll expand it to fit in the time that's been allocated because that's the expectation. Well, we need to start to think about being a little bit more effective, a little bit more efficient in terms of how we utilize our time. And so Parkinson's Law will always say that we will expand the activity to fit in the time that we've got allocated. Now, if we are aware of that, then if we can get really granular in terms of what are the key purpose purposes for this particular meeting, this particular conversation, this particular workshop, then in some cases we can not only increase our level of effectiveness in the meetings that we go to and that we run, in a lot of cases we can also reduce the amount of time we need to be in those meetings, and therefore we can give time back to ourselves, but also more importantly, we can give time back to the key stakeholders that are turning up to this meeting. So all of a sudden, not only does our reputation go up, but people's effectiveness goes up, and therefore that can go directly to the bottom line in terms of productivity and hopefully translate into revenue and sales. So think about this. Think about how valuable is your time. What price were you going to place on your time from an hour, from a minute, from a day's perspective? But also think about, what value do you place on your team's time and what value do you place on your customer's time? And if you start thinking in those sort of terms, it'll force you to start getting a lot more granular in terms of, okay, how can I be more effective in running this particular meeting, having this conversation, so that I can have the conversation, remove all of the fluff, and just get to the point. And so the message of today is, there are three key things we need to be thinking about in order to get to the bottom line, and to make sure that we maximize the time we've got and give us the best possible opportunity of getting a great outcome. Now, the key message here is, always begin with the end in mind. If you're thinking about it, if you're trying to go somewhere, if you're going on holidays, you know exactly where you're going to go. Otherwise, you're just going to be spinning your wheels and going around and around and around. Now, we can't travel at the moment because everything's locked down, and certainly you can't travel overseas. But if you were planning a holiday, say, to Vietnam, then you wouldn't be worried about looking at brochures for New Zealand or Tahiti. You'd be always focused on Vietnam and what does the outcome look like, and so that you can now prepare based on going to your destination of Vietnam. So you know you've got your end in mind. You know exactly what the outcome is. So the key point is, think about what your outcome is. When you go into a one-on-one conversation with your team member, whether it be a coaching session, a mentoring session, a feedback session, whatever the conversation is, I want you to start thinking about, okay, what is the outcome I'm looking for? When you're going into a team meeting, thinking about the same thing, what is the outcome I'm looking for? When you're going into a meeting with a key stakeholder, with a customer, again, think about, what is the key outcome we're looking for? How do we know whether the meeting is successful? What is the key success criteria? What does success look like? So from a customer's point of view, what is a key outcome that they're looking for? So how can you then build an agenda around a key outcome that they're looking for, so you can maximize the time you've got and get the best possible outcome? What does success look like? So that's the first thing. Make sure you're really clear on what the outcome is, because that will help you determine what are some of the things you need to talk about in terms of the key topics of the particular meeting or the particular conversation. And so when it comes to thinking about the key outcome, there are three key pillars that I want you to consider when it comes to considering what a successful outcome actually looks like. The first pillar is, all right, what is it that you want your customer? What is it you want your team? What is it you want this person in front of you to be thinking? So if you have a really good meeting, what is the conversation starters? What is the conversation topics? What is at the end of it, what do you want them to be thinking? So this will help you help form the frame in your mind in terms of, all right, if I want my team to think that this opportunity is a huge opportunity, we've got so much opportunity in front of us, then there's a thinking of optimism. So if I can then think, okay, if I want my team to be thinking optimistically, what are some of the key topics I need to put on the table in order to make sure that at the end of it, they're thinking optimistically? And that will help frame what information you portray in the meeting, and also will enable you to work out what information you don't provide in that particular meeting. So the first thing to any conversation is, what is it you want your team to be thinking? That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is probably one of the most important ones, which a lot of leaders miss, unfortunately, is, how is it that you want your team or your key stakeholder or your customer, how is it that you want them to be feeling? Now, nothing happens unless there's an emotion attached to it. Even though people will tell me that they're really rational and they make 100% rational decisions, then there is still a level of emotion that is attached to that. So within the word emotion is the word motion. So in order for us to get anybody to do anything, we have to invoke a level of emotion so that they get involved emotionally in terms of the topic, so that they have some momentum or at least some feeling that they want to move forward and do something. So from your perspective, when you're sitting down and planning this meeting, planning this conversation, how is it that you want your team, this person, this customer to feel? Do you want them to feel confident? Do you want them to feel empowered? Do you want them to feel like they can run through brick walls? How do you want them to feel? Because again, if you've got that feeling and you're really clear on that up front, then that again is going to help you then frame what sort of topics, how am I going to talk about this topic, how am I going to present this topic, and what sort of information again am I going to put in front of them, and what information we're going to leave out because it's irrelevant. So the second part is, how do I want them to feel? And the third part, which is probably the most important one, is what do you want them to do? As a result of this meeting, as a result of the topic we've talked about, what is the action that needs to be taken? Now, this is where a lot of leaders actually fall flat, and I've been guilty of this as well, and that is, they think that sometimes meetings are just there to actually share information. Well, that's actually not true. If there's no call to action, if there's no purpose, if there's no to-do at the end of it, if there's no action point, if there's no action per se, then there's no point having the meeting. It's a complete waste of time. So the third key pillar is thinking about, all right, based on all the information I'm going to share with them, what is the action item? What is the call to action? What I want them to do? There has to be something. There has to be an action-oriented outcome in terms of the purpose of this particular conversation. Now, even if it's as simple as, I just want this person to acknowledge that they've read this email, or they're acknowledged to send me an email, or they're acknowledged to make a phone call, whatever the case might be, there has to be action. So that's the third key pillar. What is it that you want them to do? Now, what I'll notice is this actual planning part only takes no more than a couple of minutes. So even if you're running from meeting to meeting, or you're jumping from Zoom call to Zoom call, then before you get on to the next call, before you get on to the next conversation, I want you to stop and think, all right, what are the three key pillars that I need to be thinking about in order to get the best possible outcome for this particular conversation and this particular meeting? And that is, what do I want the team to think? What do I want this person to think that's in front of me as a result of this conversation? How do I want them to feel as a result of this conversation? And most importantly, what is it that I want them to do as a result of this conversation? Now, if you can get those three things keyed in and dialed in and really focused in, then what it will allow you to do is get really, really specific on the type of topics you're going to talk about, and it'll actually help you frame your conversation because you know what the outcome is you're looking for. Once that's done, even if you don't have a full-blown agenda, you can still change your approach throughout the meeting because you're really clear on what you want the outcome to look like, because you've already defined it before having that conversation or before having that meeting. So that's one of the most effective ways to increase influence in meetings and conversations, is to do those three things. Think about, what is it you want your team to think as a result of this meeting? How is it you want them to feel? And what is it specifically that you want them to do? I guarantee you that if you can actually develop the muscle around the think, feel, do methodology, your effectiveness in meetings will go through the roof. Not only will that happen, but your time you spend in meetings will actually start to reduce, because they'll be removing all of the fluff that perhaps you've used in the past to actually expand the meeting, and using the Parkinson's law to use the full time that's been allotted. Now, as I said to these guys in the last couple of weeks, if you can now run meetings where originally you've got an hour, but if you can run that meeting or have that conversation and get it done within 45 minutes or even 40 minutes, then it's a fantastic outcome. And what you'll find also sometimes is, if you can't clearly define what an outcome is that you're looking for, then maybe you don't need to have the meeting or the conversation at all, which is another good use of time. Not only does it help you become more effective, but also helps the person you're having the conversation with become more effective, because if there's no point having the conversation, no point having the meeting, then don't have the meeting. So I hope that message helps on a beautiful Monday, 31st of August. And look, as a reminder, if you are committed to taking your sales leadership to the exceptional sales leadership level, and you're doing that in a really quick amount of time, inside of, say, 90 days, then let's go on a call and let's see how I can help you do that. Just go to my calendar, jump on to leadwithdarren.com, pick a time that suits you, and we'll sit down and have a conversation about what that program may look like for you. And also, as a reminder, if you're not connected with me yet on LinkedIn, please send me a connection request and I'll be sure to accept that. So I trust you have a really productive week ahead. Always remember, when you're coming to conversations, when you're coming to meetings, have in your mind the think, the feel, the do, and that will enable you to naturally expand beyond your comfort zone. You'll certainly be pushing the envelope and you'll be moving towards being that exceptional sales leader. Talk to you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com, and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.